What's her Thanksgiving song?
No.
Pass. The cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Ooh, the turkey looks great.
Lynn.
Thank you for loving me.
Lynn.
Thank you for being there.
Oh, God.
Everyone's thanking.
Lynn.
The whole world's thanking you.
Stop.
Thanking
Lynn.
Us for thanking
Stop.
You.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Cranberry sauce. We're having mashed potatoes. Oh, the turkey looks great. Thank you for loving me.
Lynn.
Thank you for being there.
Please.
Thank you for loving me. Everyone's thanking. The whole
Lynn.
World's thanking you. Thanking
Stop.
Us for thanking you.
You're going in an
yeah.
interesting direction, though, because I... What about the... Most people see Mothman as more of a creature. That would be in the crypto realm, that it wouldn't even be alien or UFO related. So you discount the creature hypothesis?
Well, yeah, because the thing makes no sense. And it is directly associated with UFOs. When Mothman was sighted, as is the case usually with these very bizarre humanoids, UFOs are in direct proximity while these things are being sighted and while they're going about their
yeah.
activities. So they are UFO connected. Now, if you want to make the argument that, well, UFOs are some portal to another dimension or whatever, yeah, you can make that argument. But I think the argument is far more solid that these things are machines. The UFOs
yeah.
are machines, and these things, these creatures that we see, are just androids in Halloween costumes, basically. That's
not Bigfoot,
all the
grays though.
Are. What now?
Not Bigfoot, though.
Oh, well, Bigfoot, yeah, that's a different category altogether.
Okay. All right. I can't have you besmirching Bigfoot on the Thanksgiving special. We'll get run off the
no.
air.
No, I'm not besmirching Bigfoot. In fact, I'm kind of interested in Bigfoot research. I was familiar with a lot of the Russian research that was taking place on the Almas, as they were called. I can't remember the name of the particular scientist who was studying those. She was very, very well respected and had quite the name. Now, she's one of the top researchers on Bigfoot in the world, or was. I'm sure she's dead now. She wrote quite a bit about it. We've had people over here doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that I'm kind of the opinion that, yes, Bigfoot does exist, but I can't prove that, plainly. It's just an opinion. But, yeah, I separate Bigfoot from all of these. Bigfoot is not specifically associated with UFOs.
No, I know. I was really just making kind of a joke. I do think the gravity issue definitely makes me really consider the occupants as robots theory, I guess you could call it, because it does make the most sense, especially like if we – that's how we do things. We send probes
yeah.
down and – you know, rovers, which are like, I don't know, kind of close to sort of like a proxy of like a dog or something, like a science robot dog. That's kind of close
right.
to what a rover is. And it's like, we're, you
right.
know, but we don't have android people yet. But if we had android people, you know, we'd be sending the android people to Mars to walk around on the surface of Mars like as unencumbered. Which is what the aliens look
it.
Like they're doing here.
The grays, yeah, if you look at the grays in particular, and the Hopkinsville goblins are a good case in point, too. But the grays in particular, what are the descriptions of these things? Everyone says the same thing about them. They don't appear to breathe. Their mouths don't work. Their eyes don't blink. The size of their eyes, would, if they were spherical like our eyes, it would take up their entire skull. Where the hell do they keep a brain? Their size, how the hell do they walk around in our gravity without collapsing? It'd be like walking on the ocean floor for us.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have any breathing apparatus. They don't seem to breathe at all. They don't speak. And what are they? How could these things possibly be intelligent? They all look like they were formed out of a mold, quote unquote.
Right.
That's pretty much the description. Well, let's apply Occam's razor. Occam's razor says the simplest explanation is probably the correct one. They were formed out of a mold. And if you stop and think about it, if they're automata, if they're probes, they don't need relief for recreation facilities, and no one reports ever seeing those on flying saucers or any other kind of UFOs. They don't need to sleep. They don't need to eat. They don't pass waste. They'd be self-sterilizing. They could adjust to any different gravity. And they're completely expendable. They relay information. And since they have digits that will work for various activities, they're just advanced probes. They can collect whatever you need. They can even abduct people and perform surgery on them to a limited extent. So they're part of the craft, really. That's why so many of them have antennae. The Greys don't have visible antennae, except in the case of Antonio de los Boas. He described basically Greys, but they had the three hoses that went out from their headpieces into their back. Now, those three hoses or three antennae you will find on numerous different UFO occupants. The Pascagoula entities in 1967, for instance, in Mississippi, which were described by people from NASA as looking very much like our own radar technology.
Yeah.
And the Hopkinsville goblins had this weird conical nose with a ball on the end of it and these two antennae that stuck up. They happened to be bulletproof, just by the by. They were shot at, they were hit, and it flattened the bullets that hit them. When they were hit, they just kind of fell to the ground, and they picked right back up, and they locomote away at tremendous speed on their arms and legs, and then jump up into the trees or float up into the trees and wait for things to calm down before coming back down again. So, yeah, these things do not behave at all biologically. They don't look biologically rational. It's because they're artificial. These things are all artificial, and they've even got consistencies, for instance, in the three antennae, which you find repeatedly coming up. The Voronezh entities had three things on the domes on top of their heads and had kind of pincher or clamp hands. They appear to be artificial.
Yeah.
Just if you look at them as artificial, they make perfect sense.
Yeah, and if it's hard to fathom, you just kind of, I think about, like, if you've seen what they're doing with this Meta, which socks this Facebook thing, but they're trying to build like a virtual reality world and shit. And virtual reality is really big. Like billions. They're pouring billions into it.
Biggest loss in history. Just bam. Practically overnight. And things just went belly up in no time flat.
Yeah, so they're trying to build this thing but I guess, like, if you imagine, all it would take is like if you're in the headset and shit and moving your arms around and stuff, all it would take would be for that to be transferred to a robot, and you could send that robot, like, anywhere in space, and you could just sit in your office at NASA or wherever the aliens work, and fucking you're traveling to Mars in the spaceship as the alien, and it's all real in a sense. It's all that could be possible. Like, I don't see why. I feel like we're very close to that almost now. Us.
Well, it is what we do. We send robot probes to Mars. They're just not dressed up. They're very primitive looking. If you just
primitive
put in
is
an
the
Halloween
word.
Costume,
yeah. Rudimentary.
The only difference with the Greys and the Hopkinsville goblins is you dress them up to look like something.
Yeah.
But these things, we just send robot probes to other planets. What do they do? They go around, they collect soil samples, they transmit their data back to us, and if they have anything that's able to take off, then they'll take samples and take them off and send them back our way. But the point is, they're robots. And they're completely expendable. Now, obviously, Mars has a little bit better budget, plainly, and much better technology. But if you stop and think about it, they've got millions of these things. And if they lose one, you have a crash in Roswell. Oops, one of the things went down.
Right.
Well, it's already transmitted its information back, and if it hasn't, we just send another one to pick up the information it didn't transmit. It's expensive.
Exactly.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to me that they think it's artificial.
Yeah, I think the robot, I'm very much on board with the robot hypothesis. I think it may be even, I will... In a nod, it may even be fucking, there may be some kind of biological aspect to it that makes it work, but, like, it's not, I don't know. Maybe that's like the missing piece we haven't quite figured out with how all this works, in a sense, where it's like if the robot dies, the dude running the robot dies or something like that. Who knows? But there's this. I wonder that, in a way, because you hear these stories of like, well, I suppose, I don't know. Well, this is an interesting question, right? So let's move in a speculative realm even further, I guess. But like, so if in the Roswell crash, presumably they would have realized if there were bodies inside that they were robots. Why do you, don't you think that would be more palatable to the public than actual aliens if they were like, look, there's like some, you know, some civilization out there sent a thing and it crashed and inside it had two fucking robots that look kind of like insects. Here they are, folks. Take a look at these creepy looking robots.
Let's look at it in another light. If you want to broadcast that, then what you are telling everybody is there is a civilization so advanced beyond ours that they don't even have to come here in person to do anything. They can send automata, expendable automata, to sabotage our nukes, to abduct people, to impregnate them, and to do all of this. And that is pretty scary. These guys can do all of this long distance.
Yeah, I guess it's equally terrifying, yeah.
They can do it by remote control.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where they come from or anything, so we'd be even more, you know, they'd be like, we're not sure where they come from and when they might be back. And so, good luck.
The Army, at least in the 1950s, the Army was already looking at Mars as a probable source, the probable location where they were coming from.
Yeah.
That seemed to be kind of the consensus. And interestingly, if you go back, if you really want a gold mine in UFO research, you want to read Jacques Vallée's early journals when he was working with Feynman. Those are worth their weight in gold because Vallée will make all kinds of observations just bluntly and nakedly right in your face, none of which he pursues in his later writings, interestingly enough. But at the time, he and Hynek were both thinking of UFO occupants because of their biological absurdity as being artificial. He said, well, it makes a lot, they were both excited about it, but it makes a great deal of sense, doesn't it? They're just mobile noticing machines. And those were the words they used. And if you look at Hynek's actual definition of a close encounter of the third kind, a close encounter of the third kind is where, quote unquote, animated figures are witnessed in proximity of a UFO. He doesn't say aliens, he uses the specific words animated figures.
Yeah.
Which I find to be very interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of a tell. It is interesting. It's frustrating in a sense where it's like, okay, well, if they're robots, we should be able to outsmart them, and someone should have gotten one of these robots by now. But, you know, I guess not. I mean, I'm sure the government has, but. Yeah, I mean, some asshole, like, out of the middle of nowhere.
There was a file that got overlooked when, I don't know if it was at Wright-Patterson, I think it was Wright-Patterson. There was a file that got overlooked and someone dug up when they moved a lot of stuff that was USAAF Early Automation, was the title on the file. And in it was a picture of a gray. By exact description, what amounts to a gray. Now, my guess is they didn't make that. That was what was sent to them from Roswell, and they were busy trying to reverse engineer it and create some for ourselves.
Yeah.
They was officially in a file regarding automation.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what comes of all this. It doesn't seem like they're sending as many aliens as they used to, but I don't know if that's just the way the media has changed and it doesn't get out as much or what. But you used to hear about all these old-timey encounters with various creatures and oddities and entities and beings and, you know, Pascagoulas and your goblins and your, what was the first one, Mothman? None of that shit ever happens anymore. It's really disappointing.
Oh, I'm sure it still happens. It just doesn't get reported. One thing that has to be noted, though, We don't have flaps like that anymore. We still see the UFOs, but we don't hear about the occupants. It used to be you'd always hear about the occupants.
Right.
So, yeah,
like, when was the last time you heard a story about a UFO sighting and then, like, a creature got out and walked around? Like, I follow the news intensely because of my job, and I have not seen a story like, maybe, like, in the 7 years I've been doing this, there's been, like, one story like that, and it was, like, in Bolivia or something, where it's, like, almost impossible to track down. But it's, they're few and far between these days, let's say.
Yeah, the last I can think of was Voronezh, actually. And, I mean, that was, you know, 30 years ago almost. Or, hold on. Yeah, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that, that
so
is Russia,
it's disappointing. It's disappointing. all right. Well, we've done an hour of heady paranormal talk, thick, juicy paranormal talk, like a Thanksgiving turkey. So we'll talk a little bit about entertainment now. What are you watching these days?
Well, let me think. Mostly I just kind of watch movies and some stuff on Netflix. If I were pointed in a general direction, I'm trying to think if I've seen anything like paranormal or UFO related. I saw...
well, you're watching all these YouTube videos now.
Well, yeah, I watch YouTube quite a bit. And Netflix sometimes has some good stuff on it, too. But they're getting better. We'll put it that way. Netflix has recognized that woke is killing them because their stocks have dropped too. So they're kind of lightening up on the woke shit and starting to put out actual decent entertainment now. But I, one of the things I did find on YouTube, there's one of the found footage things. There was one that was called, I think, Alien Abduction. Now, this was made quite a few years ago. Emmanuel Shrieky was in it. I didn't even know who she was at the time, but I've come across her name periodically. The point is, she's a name actress. She was actually in this thing. It's from quite a few years back. And it's not bad. I mean, it gives a suitably frightening rendition of Alien Abduction. It's kind of like Hopkinsville Goblins on steroids. It was kind of interesting to watch just from a historical perspective. It's sort of like homework for me. It's like, well, what have they got right? What have they got wrong?
Yeah.
Have
you seen Hellier?
No.
All right. Well, that's all the rage in the paranormal, in one realm of the paranormal these days. In sort of in the magic creature-y kind of realm. It involves goblins. Has ties to the Kellysville Goblins. I'm bringing it up because I you should watch this because, like I said, it's got some serious adherence and the hardcore fan base of, like, people who are obsessed with this show. It's fantastic. I'll tip my hat, as I have very often, to Greg and Dana Newkirk. They produced something for the ages with this show.
What's it on?
It's like it's on YouTube. It's free. So go and watch that, and then next year when we do Ruxgiving, we'll get your take on Hellier, because I'd be very interested in that because it's been dissected and looked at, and it's got a vibrant community of people who are into it. So it's quite a phenomenon, really. That's what I'd call it. It's a phenomenon. So yeah, check that out. I'd be really interested to see what you think of it.
Yeah, it shows you how to touch on them. I haven't come across that. I did see the latest Stranger Things when that came up. I loved it.
You liked it, huh?
Oh yeah.
I liked the third season better. I think the fourth season, I don't know. The third season was kind of more like an homage to, like, summer blockbuster movies and shit, which is why it came out like around July 4th. This one was definitely very Friday the 13th-y, sort of like an homage to horror films, which is fine. What's that? Yeah, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
The villain is very much Freddy Krueger.
What's that?
the villain is very much Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. I found it compelling. I liked what I really liked is that they just put out episodes that were as long as they wanted, no matter what. They were not constricted by any sort of broadcast standard. So they were like, all right, this episode is going to be 72 minutes long. And then like the next one was like 67 minutes long. And then the fucking finale that they – it was quote-unquote two episodes, and the fucking total running time was like 3.5 hours. It was like, now you're just putting out a 3.5-hour movie. Like, just be honest. Like, you're just putting out a 3.5-hour movie, and I love it. And I thought it was awesome that they did it that way. So I'm not complaining about that. But it was cool.
A lot of people complained about it being broken into two parts, you know, the first part and the second part. I didn't, because I thought they ended the first part in a brilliant place to end it. It was practically like ending a season in itself. And then having an extra season after.
Exactly,
so
a coda.
I just loved it.
Yeah, it was really well done. I enjoyed it. As far as the sort of overall, much like Lost, you were a big Lost fan, right? You were on the Lost cast when we did it?
Oh, man. Well, you and I were in that Lost. We were doing the things speculating about Lost in advance. And,
yeah,
you know,
Lost cast. Yeah, when I did
it. Yeah, we were big into Lost.
As far as the overarching sort of Stranger Things story, I reserve judgment till they finish the season, because I will finish the series because I want to see how it all wraps up. But I do find, I guess I did like in a sense that it was a change this time. We're gonna spoil things, folks. So if you haven't watched the new season of Stranger Things in the last 3-4 months since it came out, fuck off. Just go watch. Shut it off and go watch it over the holiday weekend. What are you doing?
While the adults talk, go in the other room just for a few minutes.
Go have some more peas and onions.
It was very dramatically satisfying. I mean, we do actually have a villain. He does, as far as I'm concerned, he makes sense.
Right.
He plainly thought this out very well in advance, which is something Lost never did. The complaint about Lost is they were literally doing the entire thing on the fly.
Right.
And they never had a clear direction they were going to go with it. They just kind of, well, here's a bunch of stuff, and it's over now.
Yeah, Lost.
Yeah.
But it's why I don't watch a lot of these hour-long dramas, these serial dramas, because it's like, fucked those up for me. Like, I have, like, post-traumatic Lost.
This is why I never got into Game of Thrones. Everyone kept trying to get me into Game of Thrones. I watched the first season, and I thought, you know, it's not bad. I just really didn't have that much interest in continuing to follow up, but I'm glad I did not. Because the last season, everyone just, you know, yelled and screamed and moaned and complained, and their jaws hit the floor. And I knew why. They were describing everything, and I didn't have to have seen the show to know exactly what they were complaining about, because I had sat through Lost for 7 years. I said, okay, now the rest of you know how that feels.
I'd already been there.
Not going to repeat this. We'll just wait to see what happens, and it did the same damn thing.
Yeah.
So
with Stranger Things, I did like how this season ended with the bad guy sort of in control. Because I was getting annoyed because it was like every season they vanquish the bad guy, and then the bad guy comes back, and it's like, okay, so we're going to go through this all again where it's like, oh, we're all Hawkins is on the brink and we could fucking be destroyed. And it's like, oh, but then here comes Eleven with her magic powers and she beats the monster and, oh, we're all okay, but uh-oh, something bad's going to happen. At least with this one, the villain's plan worked. He fucking, he cracked open the thing. So, we'll see how they deal with that.
We're on the defensive now. This is like one of those UFO things. It's like, it's not undercover now. Now it's out in the open. The entire world is seeing it. It's not just Hawkins, and it's not one of those Buffy the Vampire Slayer things where you can just, you know, shovel dirt over it and people will forget. Now everybody sees it. It's coming out. And, you know, the bad guy is on the ascendant, which I think is an incredible way to end it and set up the final season. So I'm greatly looking forward to seeing how they wind that up.
Well, I'll say this, Bruce. Don't lose your mind. If you remember when they went in the Upside Down and it was dated to like the day that the kid got taken by the monster guy or whatever, Like the upside right. down is like three or four, like from when the series started. Part of me wonders if they're going to end it with like some kind of magical rewind back to that moment, and you'll see them all as kids, and you'll cry and go, "Oh, the journey they've been on," and you know, and that'll be the end of the movie. Like you don't have to worry about where they go from here. What's that?
But we haven't resolved the goddamn thing. Y'all feel good, right? Didn't you have a lot of fun with this? And we've resolved nothing. Yeah,
right. Well, they'll defeat the bad guy. They'll defeat the bad guy. They'll destroy the Upside Down, and everything will rewind back to before the Upside Down was created. But then she would be stuck in the mental hospital or whatever, and that wouldn't work. So I don't know. This is why I don't write Stranger Things, folks.
You always have to take it with a grain of salt. Don't get too invested because they could totally fuck it up for you right at the
end. That's the core of the advice. Yeah, don't jump too much on it. I will give a big recommendation for a movie for the Thanksgiving holiday, folks. If I watched this movie flying back from Nashville, and I will be honest, I was gratified and horrified that I was like crying at the conclusion of this movie. It was so unexpectedly emotional, especially given the movie. So I highly recommend people check out Marcel the Shell. It is a super strange fucking movie. It's the best way to describe it in like one sentence is it's like a fake documentary about a tiny anthropomorphic shell, and he's in search of his family essentially. And it really is. Just thinking about it, I'm like, oh, Jesus. It is an emotional, it's powerful in a bizarre way, where you're like, I cannot believe I'm crying over this movie about this tiny little anthropomorphic shell, but it's awesome. It's a fantastic movie, and it seems like it's for kids, but it's definitely for adults, because it deals with all kinds of adult things, so it's like very weird like that. It's like a kid might watch it, but they wouldn't understand anything that's happening other than the shell has a funny voice.
Sure, and there are a lot of things that are made for kids that I enjoy watching. I think they're pretty good. I mean, I love Scooby-Doo for crying out loud. Yeah, I like a lot of family stuff. And I'll definitely check out Marcel, and I'll check out Hellier.
Yeah, those are my recommendations. So people should Hellier for you. I think most of my audience has seen Hellier. It's so big. But yeah, Marcel the Shell, I saw The Black Phone. Did you see this movie, The Black Phone?
Yeah. That's actually in my subscription package. I think it's like Paramount Plus. That's part of my subscription package. So yeah, I get that.
Fucking terrible. That movie was atrocious.
I thought it was mostly overrated. I didn't think it was that bad. It was just mostly overrated.
Everyone
telling me how incredible it was, and I said, "Well, here it is. Let's watch." So, well, it's got an incredible mask. I'll give it that. And,
the mask was cool, but
yeah, too bad
it was
something
bad.
To go with it.
It was really bad. I can't even explain how bad. I don't know. It just made no sense. Like they didn't explain how this kid was getting psychic phone calls in the dude's basement.
Right.
And that from there, it just became fucking like stupid. You know, unless
well,
it was.
You have to bear in mind, it's a Joe Hill. You know who Joe Hill is, right?
No.
Joe Hill is Stephen King's son.
Oh, okay.
He was
literally, symbolic, spiritually.
No, it's his actual son.
Oh wow.
Joe Hill is Stephen King's actual son. He wrote that. He's also one of the top creative guys. He writes half the stories for Creepshow, which is very hit and miss. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's just kind of stupid. And he's also the big guiding light. He's one of the co-authors of Lock and Key on Netflix, which is actually a very good show. I like that. It only went 3 seasons, then it wrapped up, but at least they did wrap it up. I mean, they knew that they were coming to an end, so they concluded the storyline and got it all done. I liked Lock and Key a lot. Certainly, it's a hell of a lot better than The Black Phone. And Creepshow, sometimes. Some of it's good, some of it's not. But then, yeah, that's all Joe Hill. That's Stephen King's son.
I apologize to Stephen King for besmirching his son's Black Phone movie, but it is fucking terrible. The story is terrible. Oh. The movie was well made. The story is just makes no fucking sense. Like, it's so so dumb. It's just so dumb. That was like...
That kind of sums it up. I kind of felt the same way about it. It didn't bother me so much. I just kind of thought, well, what am I really watching here? What is this? Why are we going on this journey? If they were going to go that route, I think they would have done better if they just made it a serial killer abduction story.
Exactly. Thank you. That was the creepiest part of the fucking movie. The part where he got psychic messages through the phone was like, what is this? This is so dumb.
You're going to interrupt your intense drama with some idiotic psychic shit.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that was exactly it. It's like it was spooky for spooky's sake, and it wasn't needed. It was way unnecessary. So, Black Phone, I give it a thumbs down. All right, so we're heading towards...
I wouldn't exactly recommend it. It's not that bad. It's just what we were saying here. It's kind of like, you know, you've got a great serial killer abduction story here that's really intense. It's not something worthy of Dean Koontz. But it's kind of interrupted by this bullshit that's tossed in on top of it. So if you can kind of separate the wheat from the chaff and watch the movie you want to see in that movie and ignore the rest, then it's not so bad.
That's excellent advice. Excellent advice, yeah. That's the... It's, because the kidnapping part was like, holy shit, this is intense. Like, what the fuck's going on with this guy and the serial killer and this kid's now, he's trapped in the basement. And then it's just, it's like, then he completely throws you out of the movie because you're like, well, wait a minute now. What's with the phone? That's what it should have been called. What's with the phone? So, if you ignore all the phone parts.
What's all this then? What's the name of the show? What's All This Then? Yeah, well, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, exactly. So you're catching on with the modern age now. I remember when we talked to you a few years ago, I was trying to explain to you how streaming Netflix worked. I think you were still doing the DVD. So now you're on all the – what services are you using now?
I just do Netflix and whatever comes in my cable package, which, like I said, includes Paramount Plus. I get to see a lot of stuff on HBO Max, like the Halloween movies. They'll show those. I can still watch that on HBO Max right now for free. Or it might be Paramount. But when they put stuff out for free and they'll put it up for like a month or two, I can watch those. So I got to see the Halloween movies that way. The second one, Halloween Kills, was shit. The third one I actually liked a lot. I know a lot of the fans hated it because it was less Michael Myers, but in that particular soft reboot trilogy, I happen to think they did a very good job concluding it. So I was pretty pleased. The middle one, I just stunk. It was just bad.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a single one of those movies, so I can't comment.
that's my favorite serial killer franchise. It's got just enough.
So you saw the new one with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah.
And how would you rate that one?
Well, it was an entirely unnecessary soft reboot. They really concluded everything with Halloween H2O back in 98. And they should have left it at that. But, of course, it's still a big
franchise. How many of these fucking movies have there been?
13, I think, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
I think it's like 12 or 13, all told. But they've donated the soft reboot because there was still gold in them, Dar Hill. And... the soft reboot, it went supposedly as a sequel just from the first one. But if they're just going off the first one, there were too many logic problems that kept getting in the way with me watching it. It's like, well, look, Jamie Lee Curtis would not be so paranoid and worried about this guy at all because he has literally no reason. Even if he escaped captivity, he would have literally no reason to ever come after her. He has no connection to her at all. She's just someone who he didn't kill. That's all. The only way that she would be worried about it is if they were brother and sister and he was fixated on killing her. That would make her paranoid and terrified. I could see that. But since they nixed that entire part of the storyline, it's like, why is she so concerned about this? And then after they've gotten her past all the concern and her daughter is killed by Michael Myers, who then disappears, they don't even know where he is, she just, like, you know, completely takes a chill pill and calms down, and now she's not living in this armed fortress. She's just living in a house somewhere. So this doesn't make any sense, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Well.
You got this bad answer.
Yeah, I just looked it up. It's the 13th Halloween movie. It's the most successful film franchise ever, adjusted for inflation. So that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually a big fan of Halloween 3. It was an early UFO movie that no one recognizes as a UFO movie. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. I'm playing that movie cult.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I've heard it's kind of got a cult following or something like that, that it's controversial or something along those lines, I'm sure. Sure, the movie nerds and the audience are like, but no. But yeah, I've heard it's like a hot topic of conversation in the Halloween.
Well, for those that slam
fandom.
It, I would say if you watch it with UFO eyes, I mean, if you're as familiar with UFOs as I am, and if you've done a lot of research in it, watch the movie again and tell me what you see. Look at it as like a UFO movie, and you'll get it.
Yeah. Well. That's my advice for a lot of films, right? Anyway, all right. Well, we've gone 90 minutes. I'm starting to run out of steam. I'm out of shape from not doing shows for so long. So what do you got planned for the holiday? What are you doing?
I am getting together with my friend in Thornton. His daughter just moved back from Wisconsin, and we're all good friends. We get along extremely well, so I'm looking forward to having a nice Thanksgiving dinner with them. We're going to have turkey. We're going to have yams. We're probably going to watch a lot of movies. And stuff on
Excellent.
YouTube and other kind of good shit. We're just going to
sound good.
Have a great time.
That sounds awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, last year we talked about how I did the automobiles, I guess you could say, part of the trip of Thanksgiving. I drove out to Vermont. It was like a movie. It was like a family comedy. I can't even begin to recap that for folks. And this year I'm doing the planes version. So I guess I will say from last year. Yeah, so next year I got to go somewhere on train. But I will say I did understand it was fun in a way to experience the shittiness of driving on Thanksgiving or the day before Thanksgiving. Like, we went on Wednesday morning. We drove to Vermont, and it was like, this is what they tell you not to do. This is like only assholes are out there driving at that time of day. So, time of year, you know, right before the holiday. So this year we're kind of doing it again. We're flying this time out to California. I'm leaving the Saturday before Thanksgiving, so this coming Saturday, which is, I don't know if that's good, bad, or ugly for Thanksgiving travel, but I assume it's going to be busy, and we'll see. But and I'll be headed out to California, so spending a week out there, my first real vacation in a while. So looking forward to it, which is why it took us. It's why we're doing the show tonight, because I'm leaving Saturday, and you're working until Friday at least. So
yeah, I'm working through Sunday, and then next week I'm free. All the way through Thanksgiving, which is going to be nice. It'll be a nice breather for me because I've been doing a lot of overtime lately.
Good. Well, you deserve it. Yeah. And I'll be on vacation, and I deserve that. And so we weren't going to stop everything and do a Rucksgiving. So, but we managed to pull it off. I'm kind of surprised because for a few hours today, I was like, I don't know. This is a big commitment here tonight, and I'm just feeling really lazy, and I got a lot to do before this trip, but I could not disappoint the hardcore Banal of America audience who looks forward to this special every year. And it wouldn't be the same if we let it go. We have to keep it going. I thought, well, maybe we'll do it after Thanksgiving. But it's like, that doesn't work. We have to do it before Thanksgiving so folks can listen to it on Thanksgiving as they're traveling or waiting around for the food to cook. So
I was going to say the exact same thing, and I came to the exact same conclusion before I did.
What's that?
Yeah, we need to do it before. We need to do it before. And now
we
have.
And now we have. So I can't thank you enough, man. I hope you have a safe rest of your year. I'll try and keep in better touch with you over the course of the year, but it seems like time just goes by so fast that next thing I know, it's next November, and I'm trying to get a hold of you, and we're scheduling another Rucksgiving. So, you know, I'll try to be in better touch this year, and I hope everything goes well for you.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Are you on any place that people can find you anymore, or you never got on Facebook or any social media, right?
No, there is someone who opened an account in my name, and they actually got my picture.
Oh, geez.
They hacked my brother's phone and got it out of there. That is not me. I do not have a Facebook account. I don't have a social media presence. So if you happen to see my name on Facebook and someone who looks like me, that's not me.
Yikes. You should report that somehow. I don't know how you do that because you don't have an actual Facebook. Oh, all right.
Yeah, but I know people who are. They were the ones that called it to my attention. My nephew called it to my attention. He said, did you open a Facebook page? I said, no. He said, well, they've got your picture. I knew exactly where they got it from. So did my brother. So we all reported to Facebook, and they know. But they don't take those things down. They leave them up.
Yeah, they don't care. That just adds to their bottom line of number of users. So it's all social media. It's just a disaster, man. But all right. Well, for folks listening who are friends with Bruce Rucks on Facebook, stop sending him nudes. Because it's just some random person.
Yeah, send them to my phone. I'll appreciate them more.
Exactly. All right. And any news on any republishing of the books or any thoughts on writing another book? Seems you're very excited about Skinwalker Ranch. Have you thought about not necessarily writing about that, but just sort of doing a updated, you know, thoughts on the scene and the situation and the phenomenon book?
Actually, that hadn't even crossed my mind, but it's something I might get thought to. The real point is I haven't found that much more to add to anything that I wrote 25 years ago.
Right.
There's a little bit of updating I could do just on Mars probes and things like that, but not enough to, you know, warrant more than an additional chapter, maybe. Now, this guy that I'm visiting, my friend in Thornton is, like, filthy rich now. And he's always on me to try and get my books out. And he'll ask me, well, how much does it cost you to get that? And I tell him. He says, I'll take care of that. So quite possibly this year he might go ahead and purchase my books back for me and help me get them back out.
Yeah, you got to get on that, man. People, I remember when I got Hollywood versus the Aliens, it was like going for a crazy amount on Amazon. I don't know if it still is or what. It's probably even more rare now. But
for anyone that is in that position, let me tell you right off the bat, that thing will go up to $400 or $500. Either of my books will go for like $400 or $500. I think that's like the top I've seen. When you find them going at that price, just wait. Wait 2 or 3 weeks. Keep checking back. They'll go back down again. They'll go back down to a perfectly reasonable price.
All right. Well, on that note, Bruce, thank you again for being a part of the tradition. Have a great year and stay safe out there, and looking forward to catching up with you next year. And happy
Absolutely.
Thanksgiving.
You too. Happy
of
Thanksgiving.
Course. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. All right. Good night. There you go, folks. That was Bruce Rucks with the Rucksgiving 2022 special. Good times as always. That was a fun conversation. We just went wherever we went. So it was interesting. I didn't think we don't usually talk UFOs all that much on the special. So it was a different avenue to go down, but fun. Cause I haven't really talked or thought about this soap opera that's going on right now in UFO world in quite some time. So what's going on with Banal of America? Let's give you a sort of state of the program address here. What's going on? Give you an update on everything. So essentially, I just got really lazy. I've had a terrible year. I've had a really rough year, unexpectedly bad. I'm fine. I'm in good health. I'm alive. I'm here to celebrate Thanksgiving, so that's good. But I've just been kind of just bummed out. It's been a shitty year. As I talked about at the beginning of the year, Sir Ralphus the Rabbit died to start the year as like a bad omen right from the get-go. There have been some highlights, some wonderful highlights going to Point Pleasant and checking out the Mothman stuff and just going to West Virginia and seeing Flatwoods and then hanging out in Nashville with my friends at the Strange Realities Conference. All that's been just fantastic. But, you know, I haven't really felt motivated to do anything as far as podcasting goes. Now, I will say I knew we'd be broadcasting again here in November with Ruxgiving, and that usually kind of does stir me to action. So I think I have been putting together sort of a list. I suppose the best explanation really is that the show itself is just running on such outdated technology and distribution that I am, like, frustrated by that. And that's keeping me from really diving in and sort of getting going. I noticed this when we did the little mini season at the start of the year. It was like there was a lot of phone issues, and it was just kind of like, I gotta drag this program into the 21st century, or at least into 2022, or at this point 2023. So, and I've made this declaration many, many times over the years. So it's like, all right, here we go again, Benal. But at this point, it's like I really kind of feel like we have to. So I'm hoping – I've been sort of kicking the tires around on how to go about doing that. And so, you know, maybe not the next time you hear from me, but probably at some point in the not-too-distant future, I'm hoping that we'll have revamped all that, revamped how we produce the program, how we distribute the show. I just got an email from Cyber Ears, who hosts all of our complete fucking archive, which is like 300 shows, plus at least maybe 400 at this point. I haven't counted. 15 years worth of programs, folks. 15 years worth of shows. That they're shutting down at the end of the year, so I'm gonna have to fucking take the whole catalog and move it to some other place that can host the catalog. I would talk to some of my podcasting friends to find out where they recommend doing that. So that's going to be a whole fucking project. So once, part of me thinks it could go two ways. Either I will do all that and be like, fuck all this, we're just going to stick with the old way, or it'll rejuvenate me to really pursue recording these shows in a more modern way. I was just talking to Bruce about it, you know, like I'll go on like Conspiranormal or something, and you're on like TV, kind of. You're on the little Zoom thing and everything. So, you know, we need to kind of get everything up to modern standards, I think, because the phone connection, it's just not working anymore. It's just getting too haphazard, and I think we need to kind of fine tune the operation. So that's where I'm at, really. And I think my reticence to really dive into the work and the learning that it will take to do that has kind of left me dragging my feet. But I talked about it a lot with the folks at the Strange Realities Conference, and they were very encouraging. That they were like, no, man, you gotta do this, that, and the other thing, and you gotta, this is how you would do it and shit. So I think once I set my mind to it, we'll get it rolling. So that's kind of it. There are a lot of people I want to talk to. There's a big list, and once we sort of get over that hump, I imagine we're going to be doing a lot of shows. And I'm hoping that if we do reboot the technology of the show, that will sort of put some wind in my sails to do a lot of shows, because I'm hoping that I'll really like the setup. And I'll want to do more and more shows. So I think everybody wants that, right? So that would be sort of the aspiration here behind that thinking and where I'm at right now. So I can't promise you anything right now for the future, although I was thinking tonight as I was getting ready for tonight's show that we definitely should do another Benal of America Christmas party. So we're probably going to do that in December. And the year in review with Greg Bishop, but I don't know beyond that what we might have in store for you. But I'm thinking about it a lot, and I'm thinking about what's next for Benal of America here as we close out 2022 and get ready for 2023. So with all that said, thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you especially if you listened this long with this rambling update on what we're we're doing with the program. I really do appreciate it, and hopefully it'll all pay off in the not-too-distant future. So thank you, folks, and thank you. I know we're catching the real hardcores here, the folks who love Ruxgiving and who have been a part of this for the last 12 years. Think about that, folks, 12 years. There are podcasts out there that haven't been around, 3 years. So we've been just interviewing Bruce Rux for 12 years, never mind all the other stuff we've done here at Banal of America. So, and I know that we're catching all the super hardcore listeners who enjoy the show so much. So thank you. I hope you all have a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. If you celebrate, if you don't, enjoy the time off. If you're in another country, sorry. I'm sure it's awesome where you are. Sorry you don't have a holiday next week, but so I think I covered everyone. So have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody. I really do appreciate you all very much, and I really couldn't let Thanksgiving go by without getting behind the mic at least this time and rolling out another Ruxgiving for everybody. So I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you all have a fantastic holiday and meal and all that. And until next time, this is Tim Banal, thanking you for listening.